This is scaling up a local service side hustle to full-time, multi-six figures in the pet waste removal niche. What's up? What's up, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, because your 9 to 5 may make you a living, but your 5 to 9 makes you alive. Pumped for this one. We first heard from today's guest in early 2020. She was earning around $1,000 a week from her part-time pooper scooper business, and since then has grown it now serving almost 200 weekly residential customers at an average ticket price of $99 a month. From poopinscoopin.com, Erica Krupin, welcome back to the Side Hustle Show.
Thanks for having me back again. I'm super excited.
You bet. I love building on these series and encourage everybody to check out the first appearances of Erica on the show. We'll link those up, of course. But stick around. In this one, you'll learn what's working today from a marketing standpoint, how Erica raised prices and started landing bigger clients, and how she's removed herself from the fulfillment side of things, the backyard, physical labor, poop and scoop side of things, to really step into that CEO role. Now, your listener-only bonus for this week is my local business marketing checklist, some simple ideas that you can implement to get more customers for your service. You can download that for free at the show notes for this episode. Just follow the link in the episode description. That's the easiest way, and it'll get you right over there. Now, I want to share a really, really cool moment that was cool for me. So we're visiting friends in Michigan for Thanksgiving, like longstanding Friendsgiving tradition. We're driving along in Detroit suburbs, and I see this bright pink Krupin's Poopin' Scoopin' sign, yard sign in somebody's yard. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, my wife is riding shotgun. Like, hey, she was on the podcast. That's so, and she's like looking around. Like she had no idea what I'm talking about. What? No, like looking for someone like actually standing there. It's like, no, that yard sign, that bright pink yard sign. And so that was a really cool moment to see your marketing in the wild and knowing that you were local there, you know, it sent you a message right away. You're like, yes, you know exactly where it was. And so that was really cool.
I did. I was really stoked when you reached out to me. I remember telling my husband, I was like, see, this is why it's so important to put these yard signs out, have it bright pink and just be visible. And I explained to him the story. And Side Hustle Nation actually has a special place in my heart because I listened to your podcast when I was working my 9 to 5, hoping that I was just going to be able to make it out of that job. When I did, I reached out to you because I wanted to be on your podcast because you were huge.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you tuning in and really, I mean, taking action. You were the first pet waste removal episode that we ever did. So I was like, well, this is unique. Yeah, I want to learn more about this because I think the marketing tactics and the logistics, like all that stuff can be applied across any number of different niches. I know since that time, you've gone full-time, quit the job at the hospital to run this thing. And I wanted to ask if there was a moment or a revenue target or something that made you comfortable, like taking the leap and saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This can pay the bills.
I needed to replace my hospital income. I needed to make sure I was able to max out my retirement and get my retirement on my own, my Roth IRA, and get health insurance for me and my husband. And once I was able to secure that, that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to put in my 2 months. And I walked in that day and looked at my boss. I was like, we need to talk. She's like, please tell me no. You're not quitting right now.
Oh, no.
I said, not right now, but in 2 months, I will be.
Okay.
And it was scary. It was very scary, but I was excited for the future.
Seems like it has continued to grow since then, adding a roster of recurring customers. One of the common themes on the show, hey, you want recurring revenue, got to solve a recurring problem. This definitely checks that box, right? As long as that dog is in that house, they're going to have this problem. And so I imagine the customer base tends to be pretty sticky. And if you start to canvas the neighborhood with these yard signs, people learn the brand and the reputation, and they know who to call when they have this issue. But I remember, I think we were talking about maybe $15 a week, $15 to $18 a week early on. And it sounds like pricing has grown or pricing has increased a little bit since then. Talk to me about that process. You just play the inflation card. Say, hey, look, costs are up everywhere. You know, we got to do it too. Sorry for the inconvenience. What happens there?
So when I talked to you back in, what was it, 2020, I think I was only charging $55 a month, which boiled down to like $13.75 a week. And that was just enough to pay me. And I had my little cobalt with my magnets, but quickly learned that I needed to raise my prices. So gradually I started to raise. And how I did that was when I was getting new customers, they would get the new rates. Because I was still kind of scared to raise my old customers, like my original 12.
Okay.
But as I started collecting data, as I started researching, vehicles, new branding, I quickly realized that I needed to up my prices. And it was scary. It really was. But I've raised my prices several times. Now, like you said, I'm at like $99 a month about. That's the average ticket price for the customer. The last time I did the rate increase, I just sent out a letter and just said, hey, I got to raise my prices. This is what it is. This is what's going on. This is what's to be expected. And this is how it's going to roll out. So I'm very like detailed with my letters. And if they have any questions or concerns, I have the conversation with them and just explain that I needed to raise my prices for X, Y, and Z. And if they wanted to cancel service, I completely understood. And some did. Some did, but because I was able to bring on thousands more a month, it balanced out. It was okay.
Okay. Yeah. If you get somebody used to that service, I mean, people talk about like Netflix's pricing power. It's like, okay, we got millions of people paying us whatever it is, 13, 14 bucks. Like, what happens if we just raise it a dollar? Like, is that enough of a pain point to make people cancel? Like, probably not. It's probably a pretty sticky service. So it makes a lot of sense there. I had the experience recently of my podcast editing service, and Fraser will get a kick out of this because he's listening to it as he's editing the episode. They said, hey, Nick, you've been a customer since 2016. We love you. We appreciate your business, but our new clients are paying this. So you're getting a great deal. We're not going to set your price that high initially. We're going to kind of graduate you there over the course of 17 months or something. They did it like really, really slowly, which I thought was fascinating because it was kind of like the frog in the boiling water, where if they jacked up the rate, you know, one off, rip off that Band-Aid, it might have had me shopping for alternatives, but it's like, oh, okay, 3 months in, it's going to be this. Another 3 months in, it's going to be this. It's like, okay, I could tolerate that pain point. That was a unique way to go about and do it, especially if you talked about your original 12 customers, the people who've been with you for the very beginning. Hey, we want to reward that loyalty in a way, but still deal with the reality of like, look, our costs have gone up. Like if we want to have any margin to hire other people and expand, then yeah, we're going to have to do this.
Yeah, I had this one customer, Larry. I was so nervous to raise his rates. He stayed at $55 a month for almost 5 years. And then finally, I just said, you know what? I got to raise him. And I raised him, it was either 10 or 20 bucks a month. I can't remember right now.
Baby steps.
Yeah. And he was like, okay. I've been so worried for 5 years.
That's the residential side. You mentioned going after some commercial business too. Like, is this municipal parks? Like, what do you mean commercial, or what does this look like?
Commercial is, that's where some big money is. So when we're saying commercial, we're servicing HOA communities, homeowners associations, where they have community areas where the dogs go, or dog waste stations, those green stations that you see at dog parks with the poop bags, trash reciprocals. So we service those. The first account I landed was a 17 station HOA in an affluent community. And I was able to land that for $625 a month. That's huge.
And most of the time, it's like the owners who are picking that stuff out and they put it in the little green thing that's attached to the bag dispenser. So you're just kind of emptying the bags?
We empty them. We sanitize and clean the stations, and then we will refill the bags. And the reason why it's considered commercial is because we're getting paid from the homeowners association itself.
Yeah. Okay. Did you find there was a previous service, like the landscapers, like who are you displacing there? Or did they just have like a volunteer from the board that could go out and do this every month?
They had a maintenance company that would do it. But here's the thing, is that's not priority to them. That's the last thing on their mind. So there would be times where they wouldn't service for weeks at a time, and these stations are overflowing. And when you are living in a community where the base house, let's say you're broke to get into this community, it's $1 million house. Do you think you want to see dog poop bags laying all over the ground? Absolutely not.
Yeah. And so they're
okay. I positioned myself in a way to where the treasurer actually reached out. They seen our reviews online. He called me personally and he explained the situation. He said, how quickly can you get out here? I said, you approve the quote. I can be out there within 48 hours. And I was out very quickly, handled everything that he needed to handle. And I've been with him, or he's been with me, for the past 3 years. It's been a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Yeah, so that was inbound based on all the reputation that you'd built. Any of these neighboring communities are like, shoot, if we're doing this once, well, what else is out here in terms of the commercial work world?
That's what my plan is. I've recently moved out to the area that I'm servicing. That's where I'm at right now. I'm in a new office. This was like a strategic move on my end because a lot of times with these higher-end communities, they want to work with people that have the same zip code as them. And it was really hard to kind of get in with where my office was at the time. So I moved to this location. I have a whole spreadsheet, and I'm going to just be going to these or calling the HOAs, emailing and networking and really trying to get in to explode. Like the next, let's say 24 months, I just want to explode the commercial side of the pooper scooper business.
Yeah, we just did a landscaping episode. And what he said was kind of similar and interesting. It's like the weekly maintenance business for mowing lawns was very predictable, is a great baseline to have, but somewhat lower margins because it's recurring revenue. It's somewhat on autopilot. But then going after like these bigger, in his case, wasn't necessarily commercial work, still like residential irrigation installs and landscaping projects. But it was like, those were the opportunities to have like bigger bids, more margin. Like, have you found the same thing here?
My friend told me, what'd she say? Residential pays the bills, commercial puts money in the bank account. And when said that to me, I said, this is so true. So about 6 or 7 months ago, I said, all right, we're doing a rebrand. We're going to get more professional. We're going to get new uniforms, everything. And so the past 6 months, I've been like kicking butt on changing or upgrading pretty much everything within the business.
Yeah. You have some examples of those upgrades?
Oh, our vehicles. I completely redid all the vehicles. They're all hot pink with a brand new logo. I got a new logo. I actually invested instead of making one on Canva. Because when I got started, I didn't have money. I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just doing it. And so I reached out to somebody that's a professional brand creator. Like they create a brand identity. And I spent a good 6 weeks with him coming up with the new logo. And then once I did that, I went to a wrap shop and I said, all right, let's wrap all of these vehicles. And you can see my vehicles so far away.
There's no mistaking it. Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to be on video, like on YouTube, but for those of you watching it, it's this bright pink color.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're on brand today. It's the same pink that is in your logo. Same pink as the sign that I saw. Same pink as the truck wraps. How many vehicles are in this fleet now? This sounds pretty serious.
Well, I have three. I have the two cars and the one truck. One other car got involved in a hit and run accident and was totaled out. So right now we're down to the three, which is fine because I'm down a staff member. So I'm actually back in the field again, scooping. That's why I was a little bit late because I was out scooping and then I had to like refresh myself and I underestimated the traffic on the way from my house to the new office.
And that's all good. Is that typical? I know you're trying to get yourself out of the field and spend less time doing that, but I understand like, hey, things come up, cars get wrecked, people call in sick, and they got to go and fill in to keep the customers happy.
Yeah, it's back and forth, back and forth. I'll get out for a little bit, back in. I'm not the best at hiring yet. That's still a skill set that I need to work on. So the next set of goal list is really level up with hiring and know who to pick. And I've been learning how to not let people stay in my company longer than they should, because last year I had an employee that nearly allowed him to destroy my company. And that was bad.
Are you able to share what was happening or like pitfalls to avoid for people listening?
Yeah, it was just a lot of complaints, a lot of missed piles. That's a quality issue. And I kind of just let it go. I would have the little conversations, but didn't really take action. I didn't implement like a disciplinary action. This person would also either not be able to come in or would have to leave mid-shift. And I would be like, okay, I understand. Go out there, scoop, not really have the conversation about how this is not meeting standards. And then this person left a gate open and two dogs escaped.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so that was, I guess, essentially my last straw. So I did let that person go. And because of that, I implemented closed gate photos now at the end of all of our shifts.
Yeah. Okay.
And I now have expectations written out. And during the hiring process, I let them know upfront what to expect. So if I'm coming to them to have a conversation about quality issues, they're not blindsided. And I have it written out in black and white, step by step, what's going to happen. And it gives me a sense of confidence as a business owner to have those conversations.
Right. Trying to set the coaching program that I'm in is called it like the definition of done, like setting your team members up for success by like saying, well, here's what done looks like, and having that quality control checklist, having the gate closed photos, like, hey, you're not done until that gate is closed, right? I think that's super helpful to lay out what the expectations are. Is it a hard job to hire for? Like people like, oh, gross, I don't want to touch that. Or does it seem like, hey, it's flexible, driving around town? Like, I don't know, like what's been your experience trying to recruit people?
It's been hard because people, it's still fairly unheard of industry, unless you know, and you don't see a job posting often for like a dog waste removal business on Indeed. So the people that apply are really thrown off about it. But because I do pay pretty high, they're like, okay, well, this is intriguing. Why is it paying so much? And so that's the reason why my rates are so much higher, because I want to have a quality, competent person. They need to be able to, they need to have a driver's license, a clean record, pass a background check. Yes, I background check every person I send to a home. I'm sending an employee to somebody's home that has children a lot of times.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, giving them access to the backyard, like totally.
Yeah, access to my customer information through the CRM. And so they have to be able to meet all of those criterias, and then just showing up. That was so difficult. I went through hundreds of applications and interviews, and maybe four or five actually showed up. It was wild.
Yeah. Do you have it set up where it's going to be a flat weekly salary, or like we're going to pay you $20 a yard? Like I'm just to kind of think of the structure if I'm trying to recreate this in a power washing niche or something else that might be similar local service.
I've tried pay per performance, so like the PPP. I've tried that. That just people wanted to rush through because they wanted to get done as fast as possible. So I quit doing that. Now I just decided I'm going to pay hourly, and I have a criteria like they need to be able to hit 3 houses an hour on average throughout the week. Some yards are larger, some yards are smaller. I start at $18.50 an hour. I mean, that's pretty decent in our area, and that's starting pay.
Got it. Yeah, I see that. Could be an attractive job with somewhat flexible schedule. Like, is there enough houses to keep somebody busy full-time? Or is it like, oh, this is going to be a 10-hour a week or 20-hour a week type of role?
No, because my full-time scooper has 125 houses per week. And
wow.
Then I know, right? And then a part-time has half of that. And then I have one girl that works on Wednesdays, and she does 25 houses on that day. She's like super part-time.
That's still a ton. That's a ton of houses, driving, poop. That's that's a lot to keep track of. More with Erica in just a moment, including the tech platform she uses to keep all the customers and jobs organized, and how she's collected over 370 Google reviews, towering above the competition, right after this. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I'm excited to partner with LinkedIn Sales Navigator for this episode. LinkedIn's Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's billion member platform, billion with a B, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter most. Right now, Side Hustle Show listeners can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator free for 60 days at linkedin.com/sidehustleshow. That's linkedin.com/sidehustleshow for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/sidehustleshow to get started. This edition of The Side Hustle Show is sponsored by Squarespace. Whether you're just starting out or your side hustle has already turned into a full-time business, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform that makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell your products or services online. In Squarespace, you should know it's a lot more than just a pretty website builder. For example, did you know that you can offer online or in-person private sessions, workshops, group classes, and you can accept appointments right on your Squarespace website? You can manage your schedule, accept secure payments, and send automatic reminders. Squarespace can also host your video content, and you can sell access to it with a members-only area. And so whether you're selling physical products, digital products, service products. Squarespace has got the tools you need to get your online store up and running. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, Side Hustle Show listeners can go to squarespace.com/sidehustle to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/sidehustle. What's the tech platform, if there is such a thing, to just manage the route and the dispatching? And like all of a sudden at that scale, like the logistics side of it starts to get, it's not just, oh, you know, there's the three houses around the corner. I know I got to hit, like I got to have a system for this.
In the beginning, I just had a Google Doc. And so I was able to kind of keep things in order. But once I hit 50 customers, things were starting to get a little messy. And so I was trying to find different platforms and trying to keep things organized. And I actually had missed a couple customers, which that's unacceptable. So I started doing my research on CRMs and I came across Jobber CRM. And I'm actually now an ambassador for them because I love the platform. It's an all-in-one. You have your routing, you have your invoicing, you have your customer communication, you have reports, invoicing, all of it. I live in Jobber. I even put my personal tasks in Jobber on my calendar because I'm in it so much.
Oh, okay. This is the go-to. And I've heard this from other people too. This is like almost the go-to for a local service business like this. Manage the team, manage the routes, manage the customers, all in one.
It's cool because you can use it from your laptop. And then also they have a mobile app. So the staff can see their schedule. They get to clock in, they get to clock out. And there's two-way text messaging with Jobber. So we always send our homeowners a text message when we're on the way so they can put the dog away. And then we send a text message when we're finished. That way I'm able to see all the communication that goes through because it's very transparent. So if a complaint comes in via text message, the whole team gets it and you're getting put on blast. But that's just how we roll. It's like, you got to take accountability for it.
Okay. And it doesn't seem like it happens very often, or if it does happen, you're on top of it, because I'm looking at the Google reviews now, 372 Google reviews. I think the next closest competitor has 7 or something. So it's like, clearly doesn't happen by accident. We have done a ton of effort into building up that online reputation. What does that look like for requesting those reviews from customers?
In the beginning, it was manual, just a text message with a link. Now I've used 2 different platforms that connect to my CRM. That's an automated system. The first one was Nice Job, which once I close a job out, Nice Job asks the customer for a review. Since then, I have moved to Review Harvest. And the reason why I like Review Harvest is because not only does it ask the customer for a review, but it also will post on my social media with the review, with like a picture with my branding and my colors. And so it's also giving me social media content, right? On top of getting the review. Okay. So there's a lot of automation that I've implemented in my business to help scale, because I'm only one person. I can only do so much. It's good to utilize the technology that's available to you.
Okay. Yeah. Review Harvest is new to me. We'll link that one up as a resource. Is it the same for like a recurring weekly customer, like after a week 3 or something? Like, do you like our service? You know, would you mind leaving a review? It's hard to say, well, I closed out that job if it's going to continue happening.
I am strategic. When a customer comes on, I set 2 jobs up for them. I set up the first month of service. That way they're in there for like 2 or 3 weeks. They kind of get our vibe. And then we close that one out and then they will get their request for the review. And then their next job, it just continuous, and they won't get another review request from us until that job closes out. But I think the software knows that the person has reviewed us, so it won't ask them again.
Okay.
If they've left the review.
And it's been prioritizing Google, or you say, hey, if you are a Yelp user, if you like to review on Facebook, like you target any of these other platforms, or say we're going all in on the high visibility Google reviews?
With Nice Job, I believe whatever they have open on their phone, I don't know the route. I think it's whatever is open on their phone, but I know with Review Harvest, the first thing that they go for is that Google, and then they post onto Facebook, onto the page, onto the stories, and then also they update your Google profile, like the pictures in your Google profile.
Okay.
And then they also ask the customer to leave a recommendation in Nextdoor, in the Nextdoor app. because that is going to help with your local market.
Sure, sure. Oh, just the posts that you see, like, hey, if anybody's in the market for a bathroom contractor, like, take a look at the work that we just had done. If you need any help, give these guys a call, type of thing. Just, it's not necessarily tied to your profile page or something. It just kind of like goes into the Nextdoor feed. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah. They'll just post a recommendation. That doesn't happen all the time, but they try to get that because it always carries more weight and has more value if a recommendation is made versus the business owner in their posting. So I do get creative with my stuff. So in the Nextdoor app, this is something that happened recently. I got all my wraps done and the wrapping company is local. So in the Nextdoor app, I gave the wrap company a huge shout out for doing this amazing work while posting a picture of my vehicle that says who we are, what we do, nice. And how to get in touch with us.
Yeah, perfect.
10 leads. Boom.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. That's really creative. Okay. So Nextdoor, utilizing these different community groups, Nextdoor is huge. The local Facebook groups, the reason I brought that up is like looking for bathroom contractors. And so it's like scrolling through these old archive posts and they can have a lifespan of years. If somebody got their work done 2022 or something, who did you use, right? Like as long as they're still in business, sure, we'll give them a call.
Right.
So that stuff can have a long shelf life. What else is going on the marketing front? I loved, I think, the example from the very first episode, you know, where we initially posted this picture of the dog pooping and it got a lot of attention and had 80 inquiries over Messenger. And throughout the history of this, you've been very creative and intentional on the marketing side. So what else do you see working today?
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of money, so I had to get, had to get creative. And still, sure. This day, I don't like spending money on ads. Over the spring, like early spring, Facebook was getting me for like $600, $700, $800, $1,200 because I was trying to pump money into ads. And it's just for me, I don't think I had them set up right. So it didn't work. So what I've been doing is just getting more intentional with the strategy and trying to get away from the fluff, right? Just like who we are, what we do, how to get in touch with us, because people, they don't want to read long posts anymore, at least from my experience when it comes to like the dog waste removal stuff and putting those keywords in there and just consistently creating like some sort of content between stagnant posts and videos with a trending sound over it from a camera phone. No professional photos. Camera phone videos and pictures perform so much better than professional stock photos.
You're posting these as organic media or as ads?
No, organic media. If one pops, one does pretty well, I will put some ad dollars behind it. But I spend so much money on the vehicles that I have maxed out my ad budget probably for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, people see these driving around town, they're definitely going to notice. So it makes sense. Do you have an example of the social media post that did go medium viral in your little area or in this niche and what it said, what that resulted in?
I had a video that hit 1.2 million views. And that was me taking a trash bag and putting it over top of my pooper scooper bucket. It's just so simple, so simple. And people loved it. And I got a lot of traction with that. They're like, what is this for? What's going on? So I was able to show people that wanted to scoop the dog poop themselves how to do it a professional way. And then the people that were like, oh, well, I just want you to scoop the poop for me. I'm like, all right, perfect. Let us do it.
All right. A certain percentage, probably a small percentage of those were like within your service radius and they ended up reaching out.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Like I would never have, because it's so broad, because it's nationwide, worldwide, I wouldn't have guessed that that type of content would really do anything for a local service business, but you're proving me wrong.
Well, so it just depends. Like they'll ask like where we're from. And when you post something, it will say like if you can add a location to it. And I always try to add the location when I post something. I really, really try. So then it shows it to my local market.
Got it. Got it. All right. So trying to play the viral social media game, trying to collect reviews, Facebook ads, maybe not super effective, putting some money into the truck wraps, the, you know, right in your face, local marketing. Anything else that's driving leads these days?
I've always wanted to just create awareness that this business is a thing and it's available. And so I just think creating that awareness, getting involved within the community, talking to people, creating that brand. Like, I don't even like the color pink really, but now I'm just all pinked out. And in that way, it's like brand association. And then over time, all of that just kind of compounds. Like, you seen the sign and you were like, oh, that's Croupin's Poopin' Scoopin'. And just being intentional, this stuff doesn't happen overnight.
I remember your story about walking into the vet office with a box of donuts, trying to play the game of, well, who are my target customers already doing business with? If they got a dog, they're probably visiting the vet. Hey, mind if I drop off these donuts and these business cards? Like, here, look, have a little stack on your counter and people can see it there. Or put up a banner at the local dog park. Again, bright pink, gets your attention. Like, where are my target customers already doing business? Anything on the word of mouth, referral marketing, like trying to lean into that, trying to turn one customer into two, like, hey, if you got a friend that has a dog, you know, I'll give you $50 off to send them my way or something.
With Jabber, they have a referral link that gets sent out, I think, with every invoice. So this is a little bit automated. And if somebody refers out, then I give that person a free week. But if they sign up, like they get a one-time clean or a spring clean and they sign up for regular monthly service, I will give a like either a half a month off or an entire month free to the referral person. It varies just depending on the type of account that gets picked up.
Yeah, it's kind of this game of relatively fixed, relatively low cost of customer acquisition in this case for hopefully a multi-year lifetime value of this customer. I get the sense that people tend to stick around for a while once they get used to the service. Do you have the data on that? Like what's a customer worth typically lifetime value wise?
So fun fact, I didn't really understand lifetime value. I didn't even know what lifetime value meant until like 6 months ago. I posted on YouTube that I was struggling with certain things. And this guy, William, that started watching my channel in 2020, he started a pooper scooper business and quickly has scaled it to seven figures, a seven-figure pooper scooper business, right? So he's $1 million.
Wow. In one town?
They have three locations now.
Okay. Dang, that's a lot of poop.
It really is. It truly is. And he asked me that. He goes, do you know your churn rate? Do you know your lifetime value? Do you know your acquisition cost? I said, what are you talking about? I have no idea. And through talking to some other business owners, he's realized that a lot of people don't truly understand their numbers. So William has recently created a course for pooper scoopers. It's called the Poop Scoop Millionaire. And in there, he has documents that go over how to figure out your lifetime value, how to figure out your churn rate, how to figure out your acquisition cost, all of that. I'm super excited because I will now be a coach within this community about talking about social media and how to scale a business from zero to 250K.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm in the process of learning all of that stuff too, because my brain kind of like glitches when he starts talking about churn rate, but I know I can figure this out. It just takes time and data tracking.
Right. Yeah. So you can say, well, over the course of the 5 years of this business, we've had 200 customers. On average, they stick around for 18 months. So that is whatever, 99 times 18, you know, it's $1,800 lifetime value. And if it cost us less than $1,800, well, you know, we got labor and everything else, other costs associated with that. But if we can acquire that customer for giving somebody a free month, we have $100 cost of acquisition, like that seems very profitable and potentially very scalable. More with Erica in just a moment, including why she's built the crappiest channel on YouTube and what's surprised her the most over the last 5 years, right after this. As a side hustler, you got to master the fine art of intentional procrastination. It means focusing on what's most important with your limited hours and letting some other stuff intentionally, consciously not get done. That's okay. But if there's one thing you really shouldn't sleep on, it's setting up your term coverage life insurance, which is why I want to invite Side Hustle Show listeners to choose life insurance through our sponsor, Ladder, today. Ladder is 100% digital. That means no doctors, no needles, no paperwork when you're applying for $3 million in coverage or less. It takes just a few minutes. You can even do it on your phone. All you got to do is answer a few questions about your health, and then Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you're instantly approved. Ladder policies are issued with insurers with long proven histories of paying claims. They're rated A and A plus by AM Best. There's no hidden fees. You can cancel at any time. You can even get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. And it's no secret, life insurance costs more the older you get. So don't sleep on this one. Now's the time to cross it off your list. Go to ladderlife.com/hustle today to see if you're instantly approved. That's LADDER life.com/hustle, ladderlife.com/hustle. And big thanks to Ladder for sponsoring the show. If you travel a lot for work or for vacation, you might be familiar with that feeling you get knowing you're leaving your space unused for long periods of time. And you're still paying for that privilege. But hosting on Airbnb means you don't have to leave your home sitting empty when you're away. Being an Airbnb host isn't just a way to earn some extra cash. It's a chance to share your space and make a guest's vacation all the more memorable. You might be thinking, maybe my place isn't the right fit, but don't write it off just yet. Your potential Airbnb might be right in front of you. Whether it's a spare room or even your entire home, there's an opportunity waiting. Airbnb turns your home into a practical and even profitable venture. We just got back from a family trip to Hawaii where we stayed in a great Airbnb, but our place back home could have been a highlight to somebody else's travels, and we could have used the extra cash to help pay for the trip. So if you're curious about hosting on Airbnb, find out how much your space could be worth by visiting airbnb.com/host. Once again, that's airbnb.com/host. You did mention these guys, they were operating in three different cities. I think when we last spoke, you had a satellite location on the other side of the state, like in Muskegon. Is that still a thing? Was that under a franchise or like a subcontractor? Like, how did you have that set up?
I didn't know what I was doing. She was operating. She was making money. She was a satellite location, but she was still operating under me. But my business was getting so busy and she was doing such a good job on her own. I just presented her with some information. I said, I think you could be your own business owner. You've proven that you're able to scoop these customers on your own. You're able to communicate with them. I will show you how to get your LLC. I'll show you how to get Jobber if you need any help. And I think I sold it to her for like a dollar. I don't know. It was like a dollar. And she's doing great. She's flourishing.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't want to deal with this headache anymore. Like, it's your baby now.
Well, because I was like too divided because I was getting questions from up there and then I'm running my business. And then at the time I was like, let's start a YouTube channel. That would be great. Not realizing how difficult content creation is.
Well, talk to me about that side of the business because you have Croupin's Poopin' Scoopin', 3,000 subscribers on YouTube. It says, welcome to the crappiest channel on YouTube. Love it. You've got the Scoop podcast. And so starting to create content about the business owner side of things. Hey, what it's like behind the scenes running this day to day. And there's a ton of content up there, but like you mentioned, it takes time away from doing the actual thing. Like, what's a love to geek out on the content side and what that has done for you?
So the content was kind of like a creative outlet for me because I've always had two or three jobs. And so leaving the hospital, I was like, okay, I'm doing this, but I need something else to like relieve stress. And creating the content is fun, but at a certain point, I needed to start making some money. So I needed to start being more strategic. But it's hard when you're trying to create content and you're trying to run the business. And what I didn't anticipate with being an entrepreneur, I didn't anticipate the personal growth journey that I was going to go through. And I've heard people say that like some years you are growing personally, some years you're growing professionally, some years you're just trying to maintain. And I've went through all of that in the past 5 years. So I wouldn't say that I had a lot of growth last year in the business, but personally, like I went completely sober. I quit drinking March 28th of last year because mentally,
yeah,
my mental health was, I just was not doing okay. And I just felt like I wasn't being a good wife. I was the largest that I had been in quite some time. I was an emotional roller coaster. And I knew the foundation of like what was going on with me was fastly falling apart. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? So I said, okay, drinking is a crutch for me. I get stressed. I drink. I'm happy. I drink. So I'm just going to quit. I'm going to quit drinking. And so I quit for one day. Then I quit for 2 days. And I noticed a lot of my content was very emotional and very low at that time. But that really connected with people because people struggling, especially since COVID. I was just kind of throwing stuff at the wall and trying to figure out what to do. But now, like with a clear mind, I'm like, okay, you can't spend a bunch of time thinking about and creating a bunch of content. You have to get more strategic with it. Like, today is going to be your recording day. You're just going to record on this day. Your other days is going to be for networking and marketing your business. You can't worry about creating content on those days because you need to grow your business. So what I did was, is I was running two Instagrams, one for the Scoop podcast and one for Croupin's Poopin' Scoopin'. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. So I'm combining them. It's just, you're going to get everything on that one Instagram page now. The social media side, the pooper scooper side, the mental health, personal growth side. So it'll just be like a well-rounded Instagram channel.
Okay. So I like this call to, you know, try and theme your days, which is a takeaway from Mike Vardy from Productivityist on the show years ago. Like, so you're not switching gears so many times. Like, okay, today is going to be the recording day. Today is business growth and outbound calling day. And maybe day three is social media day. I'm trying to minimize the mental switching costs. I think that's really smart. But I'm still curious about, like, is it worthwhile to invest the time to show people the behind the scenes of the business and become a content creator versus just doing the thing? Like, I'm going to keep my head down. I'm going to just keep on doing. Obviously, it led to this connection with the Poop Scoop Millionaire, and like some positive things came from it. And like now this 1.2 million view viral video, like, I don't know, I'm torn because like on the one hand, super cool. I want to be the transparent work in public type of thing, show people the behind the scenes, and it unlocks new revenue streams like sponsorships, coaching, brand deals, the jobber ambassadorship, like stuff like that. But on the other hand, it like takes away from the core thing that's paying the bills in the near term.
That's kind of where I've struggled, because I'm like, what do I really want? There's a lot of different parts of me. The part of me that enjoys the connection with people from the YouTube channel and the content I put out, to see other people that have seen my videos and they've been able to grow a six-figure business, like personally, that fills me. Like, that makes me so happy, and that I'm able to see their journey. Then the other aspect of it, of getting content creation deals to where I'm able to make money by making videos and talking. That's cool to be able to not leave my house and create videos and talk on my podcast and make money. Amazing.
Yeah. Best gig in the world, right?
Yeah. And poop scooping, it's tough. You're out in the sun. We've had two dog bites this year. I had to file a workman's comp claim. So it's nice to be able to create money on different avenues. And then as for the business, it's like, I don't know how big or how massive I want to grow my business. I don't know if I want to have like a multi-million dollar, what is the word, conglomerate company. I'm not
going nationwide.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I like to hop on camera and talk. I don't know. It's like a self-fulfilling thing to see the content I'm creating and also document the journey, because I get to look back at those videos from 2020 and I literally get to see my entire journey.
Yeah, that's sometimes a little awkward to go back and listen to those archive episodes from 10 years ago, but I'm with you. And it was something that you said about like really knowing yourself, but like, look, I needed something else to relieve stress. It wasn't, maybe I mispositioned it as like a trade-off. I could invest my time here or I can invest my time here, where it's like, I can do this and I can do this because I want to, because it's fulfilling, because for all these other check the box reasons, rather than just driving top line growth. But it kind of leads to the next thing, of or the next question of like, where do you want to take this thing? Like, will it be a seven-figure multi-state, multi-location, multi-city type of operation? Or is say like, look, we're good. This is fantastic. Lifestyle business. We've got it almost on autopilot now. It runs itself. It's predictable. Like, where do you want to go?
Oh, it's really hard for me to make that decision because I hate putting myself into a box. I feel like if I were to be like, this is what's going to happen, this is like the end goal, that I'm like limiting myself. I just, wherever God wants to take me and I get to use my talents, that's really where it's at. If I'm meant to have a big business, I'm going to have the skill set and it's going to happen and I'm just going to keep working towards it. Or if I'm going to have a big social media and talk for a living, I'm cool with that too. All I know is I want to be able to enjoy what I'm doing and make enough money that when my parents no longer can like work and they're older, they don't have to like struggle. And that's something that's really important to me, because I've seen elderly people where they can't provide for themselves and they struggle. And I just don't want that for my parents. So, and I don't want my mom to live with me. I want to be able to buy her or pay for a place for her to live.
Yeah.
Separately from me, because I can't with that.
Well, a strong motivation. And one thing that I appreciate about all of our calls together is the transparency. And this is a struggle. Like every step of the way, there's a new hurdle, there's a new obstacle, there's something else that goes wrong. And you just kind of have to fight your way through it. You got to figure it out. That's your job as the business owner. And you don't necessarily know how to get through to the other side, but you got to figure it out. And I just appreciate you sharing all that instead of coming in and be like, I'm God's gift to Pooper Scoop and I have all the answers and I knew it from the get-go. It's like, no, these were some hard-fought wins here. But since we last connected, I think late 2020, what's surprised you the most since then?
The growth of the community has surprised me, just how many Pooper Scoopers there are now. A lot of thanks to me and me blabbing all over the internet about it. So I've essentially created my own competition, but I don't look at it that way. I look at it as the more people that are doing this, the more people that are following good practices in business, it's uplifting the community. And the more brand awareness and community awareness that there is, the more acceptable this industry is going to be. I wouldn't say that I'm shocked. I wanted this to happen, but it shocks me at how fast it's grown over the past 4 years. And I can't wait to see what it's like in another 5 to 10 years.
When you started, I remember you saying, well, how did I come up with pricing? Well, I looked up what the other people in the area were charging for this. So there was some entrenched competition, but nowhere near what it is today. You kind of just attribute that to like the pie just getting bigger, like more and more people are hiring out this service. And so there's greater demand. Whereas before, like, this is a thing you could hire help for. Like maybe it wasn't on people's radars as much as it is today. Is that what you think is going on?
Yeah. People knowing, that's the main thing is like, what do they say? If you build it, they will come. It's also make people aware that the service is available and they can make the decision. They've seen a post and on Facebook about Pooper Scooper. They might have like snubbed their nose at it, but during that spring clean, when they're cleaning, their back hurts and they're like, this is stupid. Throw down the Pooper Scooper. And they're like, I know I see somebody that cleans up dog poop on Facebook. And then they hire it out. And then they tell their friends, they tell their people, the neighbors see you park in the driveway. And they're like, what's that about? And they snap a picture. So over time, it just kind of spreads and you get more exposure.
Yeah, there's like this nicheification of home services where, number one, more and more people want to just not deal with it. Like as a homeowner, like, I don't want to bother with the gutter cleaning or the window cleaning or whatever it is. Stuff gets dirty over and over again. Great. If you can be in the business of cleaning it up, maybe you can do it every quarter or every 6 months, set it up on a recurring basis. And more and more people getting into it now, but like relatively low competition from the startup space or the competing service provider space where if you come in with a little bit of marketing savvy, like Erica has, you get some room to carve out a little bit of market share there. And you may not even need to conquest the business from another service provider, just because, like you mentioned, it sounds like the biggest competition you're displacing is people doing it themselves and getting sick of this chore. Like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. There's got to be a smarter way. I'll go hire somebody who's a professional.
Well, yeah, and positioning yourself well too. Because I mean, in the home service industry, you get a lot of contractors or business owners that just don't do good business. They don't communicate. They don't show up. They're messy. And so if there is a lot of competition in your area, this is what I did. I went through and I read all of the reviews of all my competition or people that were in the area, collected the information on what the issues were. It was lack of communication, didn't show up, doesn't answer the phone. And so I made sure when I was starting my business and continuing my business, A++ communication, right? We're going to show up. We're going to send you a text message to let you know that we're there. So that was like the main focus is just try to be better. Try to be better than the people in your area. And that's how I'm able to charge more too. That's why I have a higher price point.
Yeah, you can add on some layer of professionalism in terms of branding and marketing and what historically has been a really, really fragmented industry. You can bring that together under your brand and kind of command a premium for that. Take a little margin on the top. And you can do it offline. You can do it online. The online example that comes to mind is Belay Solutions that started like an executive assistant service, which executive assistants have been around since the dawn of the internet, or virtual assistants been around for 30 plus years at this point. What they did is just hire from that same talent pool, like this work from home professional, and say, well, okay, now you're going to go through our vetting, hiring, branding process and charge a premium rate as a result. So that makes a lot of sense. Appreciate you sharing that. So you mentioned you're doing coaching for Pet Waste Millionaire. You've got the Croupin' Poopin' Scoopin' YouTube channel, plus the Scoop podcast. What else is on the horizon for this year?
Oh gosh, it's a lot. Really just building out this office, this new place that I'm in, get the new podcast studio set up. I want to start highlighting female business owners because there is a content gap for female business owners that work outside of the home. So I definitely want to dive into that a little bit. And I also wanted to get involved in the community and with other business owners and bring them in studio, because being a business owner and going through the growth that I have the past 4 years, my friend group, I don't have one personally here anymore because we're just on a different page. And so being an entrepreneur, it's lonely. And so my goal is to meet some new like-minded people that I can hang out with and talk business with. And it's not where it's like, oh, she's talking about business again. What is she doing? So that's kind of what the goal is. And then really lean into the coaching, because I've been wanting to coach for quite some time. And so I think that's going to be a huge part of what 2024 is going to be about.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I appreciate you sharing that it is lonely. You got to have some people you could talk shop with. Otherwise, just go crazy rattling around in your own mind with that stuff. Well, very good. We'll link up all of Erica's resources. Again, poopinscoopin.com is the main website. You can check out what she's up to over there. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation 2024 edition. Then we'll take a trip down memory lane and see what you said before.
If there is something that you can't figure out, if there's something you're stuck on, try to find somebody that knows how to do it to speed up your process. Because I spent a lot of time just researching stuff that I shouldn't have. If I would have just paid somebody $50, $100, they could have gave me the answer so quick. And I would have saved myself a lot of stress. So that would be my number one tip, is just reach out to people and get some help if you need it.
Yeah, this is the unlock, or this is the shortcut in a lot of ways. There's something to be said early on, and 100% this was me. I could figure this out, right? Like, I know the answer is out there. It's on YouTube. It's on, you know, a million other websites. Like, I could brute force my way through this. But as the business has matured, it's like, yeah, I probably could figure this out. But somebody else already knows how to do this, and I could probably just hire them to do it, and it'd be done in a week versus me just procrastinating on it and wasting a bunch of time. So if there's something that you're stuck on, find somebody who knows how to do it. This is the number one tip for 2024. In late 2019, early 2020, for that first episode, it was keep your business debt-free, like minding the dollars and cents and the income and the outcome. Like, that makes a lot of sense. A mentor of mine early on said, hey, you know, if you mind the nickels and dimes, the dollars take care of themselves. Something that stuck with me over the years. Later on in 2020, we did a little Where Are They Now catch up with Erica. And the advice was really powerful at that time. The number one tip was, sometimes you have to slow down to speed back up. And that's something that I've definitely stuck with me. It's true. You're kind of sometimes too busy chopping down the trees to sharpen the saw, to use that metaphor. So sometimes you got to slow down to speed back up. Couple notes, takeaways before we wrap up here. We talked about the reputation. We talked about the branding. Now, if you can be a consistent and professional presence in how you show up online and offline, you know, good things start to happen. Word of mouth starts to spread. You kind of build the community awareness there. Just at the end, we talked about, like, look, this is lonely. There's a personal growth journey that you're on, as well as a business growth journey. So try to find your people. And then finally, on the content creation side or the business side, but like leaning into what you like to do. It's like, if you wake up every day and kind of dread doing the work, like, that's going to show up. And like, you're not going to show up as the best version of yourself. So it's like, even if there's not an immediate ROI on creating the content or doing the social media stuff, like, if that's what you like to do, you got to do it. You got to make it fun. So those were some of the notes, takeaways that I wrote down during this call. The previous episodes with Erica, number 368, that was the original. We talked about how you can make $50 an hour starting this business in your local town. We did the catch-up call in 407 to see how that had grown in just 9 months. And then we got today's episode for the four-year later version of what's going on. We did another episode with a pooper scooper entrepreneur, Cody Smith, in the Denver area, where he really gave this deep dive in local SEO. That's episode 555. If you missed that one and you have any type of local service business, all of the tips and tricks to get reviews and get stuff ranking with different images and the wording of the posts, like, and you know, how to rank in different areas. It was really in depth on that super specific topic. So 555, of course, we'll link up all of those in the show notes. And again, your listener only bonus for this week is my local business marketing checklist. We talked about a bunch of different ideas in this episode, and you know, just some simple checklists, simple ideas that you can use to get that local business off the ground, hopefully reduce that cost of acquisition and compare that again with your customer lifetime value. That's the local marketing checklist. You can download that for free at the show notes. Just follow the show notes link in the episode description. It'll get you right over there. Big thanks to Erica for sharing her insight once again. Thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. As always, you can hit up sidehustlenation.com/deals for all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. Thanks for supporting the advertisers that support the show. And that is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.